I speak in the name of our transfigured Lord. Amen. Today is the festival of the transfiguration of our Lord, remembering the day when Jesus was transfigured. That is, his appearance was changed up on a mountain. This was a key event in his life and a pivotal point in his ministry and in our church calendar. The transfiguration serves as the bridge between Epiphany and Lent and urges us to strengthen our faith in Christ who is transfigured. Our reading from Mark talks of the transfiguration, Jesus taking Peter, James, and John and leading them up a high mountain. Our reading from Exodus today fulfilled an earlier similar role with Moses and the elders of Israel. They went up too. An inquirer here at the church before the service asked me, "What is the transfiguration?" If you are anything like me, we all need the same scriptural and spiritual lessons repeated again and again before any of us start to remember or learn anything with a real depth of understanding. The disciples of Jesus too needed things repeated for them multiple times before they got it. Time and again, Jesus supplied the disciples and others with the knowledge of things that they needed. Jesus worked very hard, casting out demons, healing the sick, forgiving sinners, giving sight to the blind, restoring hearing to the deaf, and also raising the dead. Yet the disciples, like I suspect most of us, were slow to get the message. So it was with the previous miraculous feedings. You would think that after Jesus had fed a crowd of 5,000, a crowd of 4,000 might have seemed easier. And even here with the disciples, same situation and same statement from Jesus. We should give the people something to eat. And the disciples came back with the same response. How? The disciples should have learned by now. But then we should also have learned by now as we roll through the church's year. Miraculous feeding accounts come around twice a year, but somehow we keep forgetting what God is telling us. Just like the first followers of Jesus, just like so many of the spiritual lessons we are to be learning and reading. So what has happened to us all since Lent? Have we any problems, run short of bread, patience, hope? Have we fallen away from our Christian life in the middle of the year with holidays to go on, children to entertain, desperate for relaxation and recreation? And into all this comes Jesus saying, "I have compassion." And unlike the compassion of so many others, Jesus is one who does not merely say it or contrive to get others to pay for it. He gives it to us as a free gift. Jesus sees the needs of all us people in our social wilderness and grants us the free gift of his compassion. In the same way, Jesus sees your need and has compassion. He will not abandon his hungry people. He will not send them away empty or hungry. But the timing of his help is not as we suspect. It comes when everything else and everyone is exhausted. It comes when the disciples can see no hope, no resource, no solution. The people are starving, restless, and in the wilderness, spiritually or otherwise. But help does come at Jesus' command on account of his continuing compassion. This help, this compassion, it is a call to all of us to get our priorities right. How reckless of everyone to head for the wilderness with no food, we might say. But there is also an admonition into this help, in this compassion. We know that Jesus will not send the people away hungry, but the timing of his help is often not as we suspect. It comes when the disciples have totally run out of steam. It comes when the people remain starving and in the wilderness. But it does come at God's command on account of his compassion. But that is a lesson for all of us. By nature, we put food and clothing and temporal things first. And if we look to the words and promises of God at all, we look to them afterwards if there is any time or energy left. Jesus is showing us the reverse. He is saying to us, pay attention to my words first. Seek first the kingdom of God. First of all, be my disciple. I am determined to not let you starve, so I will see to it that you will have what you need. Listen to my words and follow me, and everything you need I will supply. And what does Jesus always give to us? He took the loaves, gave thanks, broke bread, and gave them to his disciples. The miraculous feed of the 4,000 and 5,000 foreshadows the even more miraculous feeding our God gives to his church throughout time and space, where he feeds us not just with loaves and little fish, but with his holy body and sanctifying blood at Holy Communion. And what happens with the leftovers? The fragments are gathered opposite to what happened with the manna that God fed to the Israelites in the wilderness. Manna cannot be left overnight, it putrefies. But the bread that Jesus gives us is not subject to decay. Meaning what? Jesus promises that those of us who eat of the bread of life he gives will not be subject to decay. He promises that those who both eat the bread and drink his blood have eternal life, and he will raise us all up at the last day. That is his promise to us. He will not send any of us away. So let us be our own disciples for the Jesus cause. None of us are probably where we should be or would like to be in our spiritual life. Yet Jesus still forgives and looks on us with compassion. He will not send you away empty. He will give you precisely what you need when you need it, taking our weakness to himself and giving you his righteousness. So be glad and take heart, for our Lord Jesus remains compassionate to us all, and he will never send us away hungry. And that is why I end by saying that I hope you will all join us after the service for refreshment, turning to each other and greeting one another in the spirit of the love and empowerment that we can witness in our desire, all our desires, to be closer to Christ at this turning point in the church's year. Be glad and take heart, for your Lord still has compassion on you and will not send you away hungry.